Today I want to deal with the Christian. I want to deal with what I consider to be some of the why questions that we ask. And for the next several weeks, I'm going to be dealing with the idea that Christians have feelings just like everybody else. And even though that we are a child of God and born again, there are still some normal, natural problems that we have just like all people have, though they be Christian or non-Christian. But I want to look at it from the angle of the Christian. So we're going to deal with the why question this morning. Is why can't I be a star? Why can't I be a star? I guess this is something that's born into a child, and you see it when you see a child showing off. I don't know really whether the child realizes what he's doing or not, but everybody wants to be noticed. Why? Because you are somebody. And that's one of the things that we have a difficult time with in life, because a lot of us get more attention than others do. And this creates all sorts of problems like jealousy and envy. But there is this matter of a Christian needing to have a feeling of self-worth. What are you worth? And I think that's a question all of us at times ask, and we want some answers. You'll have a child walk up and say, "Mother, do you love me?" Really what the child is saying, "Am I worth anything to you, Mother?" We need to know that we're a person of some value. Nobody wants to be a nobody. And everybody wants to be a somebody. And that's true even of Christians. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with it. I think every child should be made to feel that they are important, that they are somebody. We're all different, but at least we should never imply to our children that any of them are nobodies. I think all of us want appreciation. All of us, to some degree, want an applause. Some of us, or not all of us, I guess, want to be recognized from time to time for those things that we feel like in ourselves are important. And you know the story of Esau. Esau was a star in the eyes of his father Isaac. And then there was his twin brother Jacob. Now, Jacob was a star too, but he was a star in the eyes of his mother, Rebekah. But undoubtedly, Jacob was not a star in the eyes of the father, nor was Esau a star in the eyes of the mother. And of course, that creates all sorts of problems among the children. There is partiality shown, and that should not be, but in a real sense, Esau and Jacob were stars. Somebody may say as they listen to this story, well, at least they had somebody that considered them to be a star. Neither my mother nor my father look at me that way, nor my aunt, nor my uncle, nor my brother, nor my sister, nor my employer, nor my friends. I'm just a nobody. I'm not a star to anybody. I have no one that feels that way about me. Well, that's tragic. When a Christian finds himself thinking in those kind of terms, surely there is someone who regards you as a star. And you need to believe that. Because we need to have a feeling of importance. And that's what I say this morning. I'm dealing with the subject, Christians have feelings too. And one of the greatest needs that you have is to feel important. For your own self-worth and self-satisfaction, inner happiness, that feeling needs to be satisfied in your life. Now for the question again, why can't I be a star? Let me give you four answers that sometimes you might be told. First of all, someone might say to you, well, you ought to face facts, fella. You're just not star material. That's your problem. Not everybody can make the big time. Not everybody's going to get their name in print. And not everyone will get the attention of the masses. There are those that are the haves, and there are those that are the have-nots. There are the sunflowers and the wallflowers. And if you don't have what it takes, well, just accept the fact, bear up under the burden, and admit that You're just not star material. Don't forget, everybody can't be a chief. Somebody has to be an Indian. So you're just not star material. You know, that doesn't help any, does it? That doesn't help your feelings for somebody to give that as the explanation as to why you can't be a star. All right, the second answer someone might give you is you can't be a star because, well, that's just not part of God's plan for your life. You just ought to be grateful that God doesn't expect of you what you can't do. He doesn't ask you to produce what you're unable to produce. And there are other things that God says are important for folks to be besides stars. Now, you just think about the disciples. It was God's plan for James, the brother of John, to be a star. Now, a lot of folks remember James. But then, how about the other James that was a disciple? You know what his name was? Why, God had a plan for him to be James the Lesser. Now, how'd you like to have that name tacked on to you for a nickname? The Lesser. So, it was God's plan for the other James to be the Lesser and the first one to be the Greater. So God's plan just doesn't include stardom for the lessers. Well, that doesn't help you either, does it, as you think about the feelings of importance that maybe you're one of the lessers. All right, then somebody might come along and say, well, you can't be a star because God knows you couldn't handle it. It gets you in a pride mood and you go on an ego trip and you get puffed up and it all go to your head and you get the big head. And then, of course, that would put you at odds with God. God's not going to help you be set up for a fall because He knows that you couldn't stand the applause. And don't forget now Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart sin. Or James 4:6, God resists the proud. So, you know, if God made you a star and it ruined you, well, then God would be to blame. And so God's just not going to make you a star because you can't handle it. Well, that really doesn't help you feel important, does it, for somebody to tell you that? And then somebody else may come along and say, well, the reason you can't be a star is because God only has one star, and His name is Jesus. Now, He's the one that's to receive all the glory. He is the only one to have all the stardom, and so therefore He does not allow for any competitors. Everybody is a nobody when it comes to seeking this matter of being a star. And so God's not going to give star billing to anyone but the bright and morning star. And so if you even desire stardom as a Christian, that's sin. Now, there might be other reasons that people would give you as to why you couldn't be a star, but let me say this, none of them really help your feelings, do they? None of them really perk you up and give you any encouragement and want to make you keep on trying and give you some joy in your heart. Well, let's go back over these four answers that some folks give and see how much truth there is to each one of them. First of all, they say you're not star material. Now, look out. Just look out. Now, I don't agree with that. Look at John 1:12-13. As many as received Christ, it's everybody now who has received Christ, was given power to become the sons of God, which were born of God. Well, that says to me that God gave me the power to be a child of God. As a child of God, I'm important. I mean, God didn't make any junk. And so, because I am born of the Holy Spirit, given a divine nature, I'm important. I can't say that I'm not star material because I believe everyone born of God is star material. We all came from the same new birth mold. I don't believe God has any favorites. God has different jobs for us to perform, but I believe God has no favorites. He has different roles for us to play, but still, each role has a place for a star. So I want you to mark it down, Christian. You are star material. Don't ever accept the fact that you're a nobody, because you're a child of God, and that right there makes you somebody. And really, that's all that makes you somebody at all. Money doesn't make you somebody. Time doesn't make you somebody. The only thing that really makes you a somebody is that you're a child of God. And that's what we should base all decisions on when we say, oh, they're a star. Brethren, you're a star as a child of God. That's all it makes you start. Otherwise, you get hung up in the pride thing. You remember what Matthew 19:19? It's a very familiar verse. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, most of the time, we focus on the first part of the verse, loving the neighbor. But now, I want us to focus on the other part, as yourself. You know, if you can't love yourself, you're not going to know how to love your neighbor. And so, you are important. If you weren't important, you couldn't love yourself. You've got to find something in yourself worth looking at. And so, therefore, I don't agree with this matter of saying you're not star material. I believe you are star material. You're worth loving. You're worth complimenting. You're worth applause. You're worth praise. You're worth having around. You're worth appreciation. All God's children can do something well. We all have been given a gift by our new birth, or indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us can be a star. So I want to say this, your star quality, and you were made to shine. Brother, you're a light. God never made a black light. He made bright lights. And you're a star. And a star gives light, so you have a light to give, and that's your stardom. And so I don't accept that first thing that you're not star material. If you're a Christian, brethren, you're star material. Secondly, it's said that stardom is not God's plan for you. Well, there's no purpose in giving you the light then. The purpose of a star is to shine. So therefore, God says to you, you have a talent, you have a gift, you're somebody. Now, shine. Serve me. Please me. Obey my commandments. Brethren, when you do that, you become a star. You see, accomplishments makes a person a star. How big an accomplishment is not important. Just the matter of being able to accomplish something for God makes you a star in the eyes of God. Anytime God has a reason to reward you for a service rendered, well, brethren, you have become a star. You have got to shine to be rewarded, and so therefore when you shine, God has seen you carry out a plan for the light He's given you. So don't accept that idea that God doesn't plan for you to shine. He does plan for you to shine. He made you to shine. He made you to be a star. That's His plan for your life. Not to hide yourself under a bushel basket where nobody can see you. You are to shine. Or like the third thing, some folks can't handle stardom. Well, that's true. But that's the kind of stardom the world looks after. The kind of stardom that gives you the big head. Christians don't want that kind of stardom. We're not looking for that kind of role in life. That kind of longing is not in the heart of a Christian. I don't want to be the star. Christ can keep that place. He belongs to Him. I don't want to be the star. I just want to be a star. And by that I mean I just want to be appreciated by somebody. I want to be wanted by somebody. Complimented by somebody. I don't care about being flattered. I don't care about being adored. About being worshipped. About being crowned. But I would like to be commended. And I think this is what all of God's children have a right to. I believe you're important. But I want to feel important. And I want to feel needed. And I want to feel that somebody needs me. I'm not on any ego trip. I have no desire to please the majority of people. I just want to know that I'm important to somebody. Just want a little recognition. And attention. I don't believe that that's something anybody can't handle. That's something all of us need to have. Now, the fourth thing, only Jesus is supposed to be the star. I have no qualms with that. I have no desire to take over the throne of His glory, to receive His praise. I am more than content to allow others to know that whatever I have done has been done through His grace and through His power and through His might. I have no desire to draw men to me. But I do have a desire to be identified as an important child of God, an important part of the family, an important part of the body. All I'm trying to say is, Christian, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, folks, I'm important too. Because you see, deep beneath the surface of wanting to be a star is just a simple question that I think all of us have to ask. What am I worth? What is my value? Why should God keep me alive one more day? Where do I fit in? What's my reason for living? These are serious questions that all the Christians have to wrestle with and find an answer for. Would the church today feel a loss at all if they lost me? You know, as a radio preacher, is there anyone out there this morning that would really care if I dropped dead? You know, does anyone appreciate Thy Rod and Thy Staff radio program? That's a serious question that any radio preacher will have to ask himself. It's just not the question of the money angle, that's important. But I mean, is this radio program really important? Is this a way that I myself can shine for Christ? Am I just a nobody of no worth? No, I do not believe that that is the case. But I want to say this to you. I believe all people, as Christians, need recognition and need to know that they're a part of the stardom that's found among all of God's people. Now, how are they going to know this? How are you going to convince somebody that they are of value? Well, there's a heavenly way to do it, and there's a Bible way to do it. You say, how is that? The earthly way to do it. How is that? Just tell folks. Just tell somebody they're a star. Now, I don't use the word star, but tell them they're important in your life. How do you let somebody know they're appreciated? You just tell them. That's why all radio preachers say, write us a letter. They're trying to find out if somebody appreciates and wants them to continue on. To be that part in the body of Christ that's known as teaching and preaching. Just tell them. Now that's what the Father does. You ever think about it? How did Jesus know that He was a star? That He was needed and important and wanted and appreciated? How did He know that? He just knew it. Well, now, in my Bible, in Matthew 3:17, the Father told Him. I mean, just came right out and told Him. He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, that's what the Father did. He told somebody how He felt about Him. In this instance, He told John the Baptist how He felt about His Son, Jesus Christ, and at the same time, the Son heard what He had to say. That's the way the Father lets people know their star material. He just tells them. And that's how Jesus does it. Matthew 25:21, what did He say to the servant? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He just told them. Or in Revelation 2:2, "I know thy works." This is the church at Ephesus. "And thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast labored and not fainted. I know all these things about you. I'm pleased." Now that's important. You know, that's the way the Father does it, and that's the way Jesus does it. I might add, that's the way Jesus liked to have it done to Him too, by other people. John 13:13, "You call Me Master and Lord, and You speak well, for so am I." Why do you think God wants to be praised? He likes to be told that He's important, and that He's appreciated, and that He's needed, and that He's enjoyed. Brethren, that's a godly desire. Then you all know the story about Peter. He just came right out and asked, "Oh, Peter, Peter, lovest thou me?" And he made Peter tell him, "Am I worth anything to you, Peter?" And Peter said, "You know I love you, Lord." It's kind of embarrassing when you have to ask somebody what they think about you. But Jesus even went that far. And this is what the Father did. This is what Jesus did. It's what Paul did. When he was talking to the Thessalonians, he said, "I give thanks to God always for you." Now, that's important when you give God thanks for somebody. "Man, I'm glad I know you." Yeah, that's important. That's a compliment. That shows you appreciate it. "And I make mention of you in our prayers, and I remember without ceasing your work and faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." He went on and told them the things about them that were important to him, that made them important in his eyes. You know, the only way you're ever going to know that you're doing a good job that's blessing somebody and benefiting somebody and pleasing somebody is for somebody to make you a star. Why can't I be a star? You are a star. The problem is a lot of folks are not taking time to do what the Father did to His own Son, what Jesus did to His disciples, what disciples did to Jesus, and what Paul did to his converts. We need to be encouraged to keep on doing the things that are our part of the ministry in the body of Christ. I know some people have difficulty stating appreciation. They have a loss of words and they get embarrassed. I want to tell you something. It doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge just to say, "Hey man, you're important to me. I appreciate all you've done for me. You meant a lot to me. Just wanted to tell you that." You know, Christian, that's important to you and it's important to other people. And only you can make somebody a star. And every Christian wants to be that kind of star. He wants to know that he's in the family of God, in the body of Christ, functioning and ministering in an important way. Every Christian wants to be somebody. And they're not going to know whether they're doing it or not unless you tell them that their life has truly been a blessing to you. Some folks are in such a big hurry they never take time to thank anybody. This is often the regret that children have with their parents. Until they're dead, then they realize they were always in too big a hurry to get around to ever saying, "Hey, Mom and Dad, you were important to me." Some say, "Well, I'll let somebody else tell them." And that's not right. Or some say, "Well, they know they're important." That doesn't make any difference. They have feelings. And you ought to get in the daily habit of just passing out a trophy to God's stars. And you're the only one that can give them a trophy from you. I want to close with what a man called his Monday morning letters. Might give you an idea of something you can do that'll mean a lot to Christians who have a problem with the question, "Why can't I be a star?" Let them know they are. "For more than 20 years," this man said, "I have written at least 2 Monday morning letters to persons who have inspired me the past week. Why did I start writing Monday morning letters? It was because I have learned that a word of encouragement given at the right time helps each one of us. How true are these words? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I do not limit Monday morning letters to adults. I also write to young people. One lad who had played an accordion solo one night didn't do well because of inexperience. A personal note praised him for his determination and willingness. I encouraged him to keep it up. His mother told me how her son's face lit up as he read my letter. To think, he said, that man would write me and compliment me. I'll show him someday that I can play the accordion well. In my files is a letter from a well-known radio and television star. He said something one evening that showed me he was not ashamed to stand up for the ideas in which he believed. I didn't expect the following reply from him. "We get lots of mail finding fault with things we do and say," he wrote. "We want you to know that it is truly refreshing to get words of commendation. It makes us feel that we want to try harder to live up to the kind of words such as you have sent us." And that letter came from Arthur Godfrey. A few days before his death, J.C. Penney responded, "When I think of your practice of writing Monday morning letters, it makes me wonder what would really come to pass if all of us would take up the practice." It takes only a moment to speak words of appreciation. It takes a little longer to sit down and write a letter. The letter which you take the time to write may mean the difference between defeat and victory to someone. There have been many Monday morning letters, and it's I who have gained. That word of praise to wife or husband is long overdue, even though he or she may know how we feel. Tomorrow may be too late. Do it now. I think the man had a good idea. All he was trying to do was make somebody feel like they were important. Brethren, God wants you to feel you're important. And I believe God wants His children to let the other part of the family know that you're important.